will meet you in the cafe area after service, and he'll have his, he's going to probably choose a week, of course, after work that you guys can come to and be part of. And so you need to be part of the fellowship of there. You'll get some muscles. That'll be good, right, everybody, all the men? But you know what's better? You're going to make a friend. Isn't that better than the muscles? You're going to make some good friends that you need, good bros that you need to have. And so try to do that. Meet Ray in the back there, and he'll be in the corner. He's the gentleman right here in the second row. There he is. Good-looking guy, too, right? All right, everybody. Stephanie thinks so, right? Good. All right, finally, I got a surprise for all of our children, and we're going to do this. Make sure mom and dads are really in attendance. The week after Easter is Sunday, the 23rd of April, and we want to have some bait for our children to come back, especially our children. We want to make this the best children's ministry on the planet, and we have great workers like Gabe and Christina, Leno, Miss Elaine, Edna's back there. We have Miss Tracy. I can go on and on with all the servants of the Lord, but Fire Truck Sunday is going to happen at Living Faith Church Sunday, April the 23rd, and what that is the fire truck from the Marbach Company, right, they're going to come to our parking lot and park on the good side, amen, not where they can break the parking lot up, and so I don't know if the dog will be there, but their firemen will be there, and they'll teach our children about fire safety. Isn't that great? I might go do that. I might be out there with them preaching, amen. Is that okay with everybody? So make sure you bring your kids back and a bunch of children with you. Let's welcome our first-time guest at Living Faith Church. Come on, give them a big, big hand. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. If you're second time, third time, first time here, make sure you fill out that connection card to meet the Zieglers in the back also. They'll give you one. Let's welcome our Facebook audience. Amen. That we're going live right now. Thank God that they're with us today. You have your message notes handy? If you don't, you'll need them for the journey that we're about to be on. You'll need to raise your hand high, and we have a couple of ushers that are ready to give those to you. They're great men in the congregation that serve you and get ready for you. Keep them up 100%. Here we go. I want to talk to you today about having a bad day. Good Friday was certainly qualified, even though we call it good, because it was a human being's worst day. That's why it became our good day, because it was his worst day. It was his worst Friday, and so for us, it became a good Friday, and we celebrate it with barbecue, colored eggs, and that sort of thing, and get ready for Easter, but on Good Friday, it wasn't Jesus' Good Friday. He was bloodied, he was beaten. You can show me the first scripture when you have a moment on the big screen. Stay with me. And the worst Friday of any human being, bloodied, beaten on a cross, and dying, Jesus looks up, and he begins to say these final words, and they're on purpose. Again, it wasn't like he got hit by a truck and suddenly died or an aneurysm happened. He immediately, on purpose, begins to say his final words. We studied for the last 2 weeks the final words. The first one was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what." And we learned on that one is the first thing out of your mouth should be that you set the atmosphere of forgiveness in your life. No matter what you face in life, you have a spirit of being forgiven, and you're forgiven. Because you're forgiven from God, you can forgive other people. The thought about Christ's last words and Jesus' last words are so important because, see, in anybody's life, you're going to face maybe getting bullied in elementary school, high school maybe. And then sometimes you start making money and you become the bully, right? After that, you were the nerd. You'll get it later. But for all of us in a 12-hour period, Jesus suffered, bloodied, beaten, forsaken. Can I go on? Betrayed. Injustice came to him. For many of us, if that happened to us in a 12-hour, we'd probably wind up in a psych ward. You know, it happens maybe once in a season in our life. Things happen like betrayal. That hurts. It's happened probably in everybody's. Jesus wanted you ready so when it happens to you, you can be ready. How did Jesus respond? What did he go through? How did he act? What happened to him? So you cannot be perfect because Jesus was the only one that was ever perfect, but you have a form. You have somebody that you can copy. He was the ultimate Christian, wasn't he? That's why we're named Christians, aren't we? So this is the way a Christian behaves during betrayal. This is the way a Christian behaves when he's bullied. This is the way injustice, when injustice happens to me, this is the way I behave. Not like me, but like Christ today. Right, everybody? Are you having a bad day today? Don't raise your hand. Are you sitting next to somebody that's having a bad day? No, you hope not. Because you're sitting next to them, they're having a bad day, right? They're looking at you. in the final moments of the cross, in the final hours, Jesus was suffering. And there were two men on the side of him, and we spoke about that last week, how he helped them even in the suffering last week. But in the middle of the day, something unusual happens. God takes over, and the sun is eclipsed, and it begins to get dark. It says right at the noon hour. What's interesting about that is that I wondered about the people that were around the cross, that were the centurions, the people that were mocking him. When they see that natural, that supernatural occurrence happen, oh, maybe he was the Son of God. Look what's happening. It's getting dark right now. And they started taking things that Jesus is now alone in the dark on a cross. And he utters words that will always remember. He questions God. I was raised in a church that when we weren't Catholic, we were Pentecostal, very Pentecostal. But we just didn't question God. It's like you just don't do that to God. And I looked at this example in Jesus questioned God. And so if I'm following the example of Christ when I'm suffering and when it goes dark and I'm alone in the dark, I can ask God questions. And so should you. Amen. And don't look at me like you're scared. Amen. The lightning's already stopped and the thunder stopped. Aren't you glad, right, everybody? So I'm not going to get struck by it today, right? So when you're having a bad day, I often want to ask when I have them, why God? Why me? Why Lord? Why? And so those seasons that we ask that, we need to declare what Jesus did. He aimed his question right. My God, why have you forsaken me? That Hebrew word was Eli, Eli, lamat sabachthani. And it was Hebrew because the Hebrew word was, they all spoke their language of Greek down below. He was hanging from a cross. He was speaking not so they could understand, but he was speaking directly to his father. He was having a conversation with him. You understand that? I remember when Rebecca was, our firstborn, was little, toddler, Irma and I could get away by speaking our Spanish, our mucho Spanish, that we would want to talk about her so she would understand. We would speak Spanish. And she got so smart as a toddler, she would go, I know you're talking about me. She couldn't understand. And so how many of you do that? You speak Spanish around people that, you know, the white people, right, everybody? You don't do that here, right? It's interesting in church, and this is not meant to be funny, but it seems like people always pick times when they're going to leave church, they pick it during a Sunday service or after service or whatever. Nowadays we got email and text; they can do that. They can break up with you at church, right? On that, but when I've had that happen, it's kind of, you know, it ruins my Sunday. Like, hey, Pastor, this last Sunday won't be here. Just want to tell you what happened. Well, we found, you know, just the will of God, you know, and, you know, they tell me, I'm saying, man, you're not moving, are you? No, I just, you know, we're leaving the church, and it's kind of tough, you know. I get over it. We go on, right? Hopefully nobody's leaving this Sunday because you picked a bad day, right? Try picked you out here. But there are degrees, you know, I get over it. But, you know, if my wife, after 26 of marriage, of holy matrimony, if she were to come say, I never want to see your ugly face again. I'm leaving you, Jack. I'm hitting the road. Goodbye. No more. I'm leaving. You know, if she told me that, man, that would like ruin my eternity. Because the longer that you're in relationship with people, and when somebody leaves out of that relationship, that's why it's after 10 years of my dad being gone almost, it still hurts. I mean, I had to get over that grieving process, but when you lose somebody that you've been with, there's a distance that, because you were so close. That's why when Jesus said what he said, my God, why? And he spoke it in Hebrew. He was with God, his Father, throughout eternity. From there was no time. He was with it limitless. Do you understand that today? And so that's why it hurt him so much when God wasn't there anymore. He had to turn his face from the sin that was on my sin and your sin that was on his back. It was tough for our Jesus, not 26 years, but forever. Do you understand that? And there was a connection there. And why It wasn't this rhetorical question, my God. So it sound this pastor can preach this today at Living Faith Church 701 Marbach. He can preach that message and sound okay. No, he didn't say it as a rhetorical thing. He meant it. My God, why will you forsake me? Because of Mario, because of Bob, your name can be put there. Amen. That's why his judgment day was right there. Amen. My judgment day should have been right there. But it wasn't, because Jesus was taking my judgment day. Amen. I would be very foolish not to receive him as Savior today and begin to live for him, because the judgment is coming. Do you understand that today? Amen. And I don't want to say, my God, I don't have to say that anymore if I receive Christ. Right. And neither do you today. Right, everybody? Amen. Amen. We're not perfect, amen, but we're God's people today. And so let's look at Jesus' example. Aim the hard questions at God, not at man. Are y'all with me? Amen. You can ask God questions. When God doesn't make sense, there's no earth answer. Where is God at this moment? There's heartbreak. Where's God right now? Where was he when this happened? The bus that crashed in New Braunfels, where all those lives that were lost. Where was God? Amen. There's a church in New Braunfels that needs our prayers, right? And so there's no hope, there's no way out. I want to give you some extra principles right here. And the real spiritual people at Living Faith Church, they take notes. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. So you want to find yourself in the, just being spiritual today. I don't know about the rest of you, but you have a pen ready, it's usually there. Trust in God's nature when there's no hope, when there's no way out. What is God really like? What is the nature of God? I used to think God, during the 9 a.m. service, it was pretty cool because there was thunder going on and it was raining and you could hear it on our roof. And so it was very illustrated. And I could say, you know what, man, God's not like the thunder, even though he's God of the thunder. Right, everybody? Amen. And God is this God that came down from the Ten Commandments, and Moses was like filled with, you know, glowing and lightning and thunder was on Mount Sinai, and Moses came down. I used to think God was this entity that, man, I'm going to get squashed by him. He's going to come and just smash me. And I had to learn that God's a father. And there's a father heart of God towards every person in this room. And that sets you free. There's this beautiful song that's in the body of Christ. And it's an amazing, powerful, it's a simple song. But it goes like this. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. And I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And what they tell me, that you're pleased with me and I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. Amen. A picture of Jesus when he was 2,000 years ago on the earth, he didn't come really like the prophets. He didn't come like the guys of the Old Testament, judgment. He came a man that was so loving, because God is love. And he encapsulated his father in human form. And he looked like us, and he behaved like us, and he ate like us, and he did the things like us. But he spoke about his heavenly father, and he made him so real to the people that they fell in love with a heavenly father that wouldn't blast them, that would bless them now. Right, everybody? And as a picture even of God now, that isn't this judge, but God that loves you, and God that has a plan for you, and God that thinks about you at night, and God that just without you even knowing it, you're going to walk with him and you're on this journey with God today. What a privilege it is to sing a song of faith like that. Amen. In a moment, the reason why we put the sermon at the beginning is because we're going to come back and we're going to trust God. And if you're having a tough time right now, you can apply this message to your life and we can sing, he's a good, good father. Right, everybody? Amen, everybody? Jesus is that. 2,000 years ago, he declared it. Paul, the follower of Jesus that loved Jesus and then loved God. In 2 Corinthians on the big screen, 1:3 says this, praise be to our God. Yeah, he's that. But and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all. Aren't you glad your name's Comfort today? Amen. And that'd be a cool name to have at this very moment, right, everybody? And God is love, and there's no evil within our Heavenly Father today. Amen. And God gives compassion to those that are hurting right now. When you're going through a dark time, it's the Father of compassion and the Father of comfort. Some of you dads need to take this message back. to your wife today. Some of you moms need to take this back to your household today. Trust His promise is the next thought today. With all the promises of God. I love what Pastor Brenda Garcia said yesterday. I was sitting in the back row where David and Irene are at, and I was listening, and she was saying, you have to find your time with God. She said, she plugged in and said, you know, I'm a morning person, so she listens to her podcast and worship time. And she's, you know, most women are morning people. Don't they irritate you guys? Irma wants to talk. And I'm like, you know. And this happened already. Oh, no. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for the spiritual gift of patience. Right, everybody? They never shut down. Right, everybody? Brenda spoke, you have to find your promise. When you get your promise from God, I need a promise of healing. I need a promise because I'm lonely right now. I need a promise of just something that I'm going through, the fear right now. Find the promise. God's word is full of promises. We're about to prove that in a moment here today. I can't believe that I'm going through this moment. It hurts too much. Find the promise of God. Track yourself out of that situation. In 2 Corinthians 1:20 on the big screen, for no matter how many promises God has made, and he would be a liar if you lie all the time. No, God keeps it. He's a promise keeper, right, everybody? Yes. And listen to this. They are yes in Christ, and through him they are amen. And you know what that word means, amen? It means so be it. Somebody shout, so be it.
So be it.
And so it's just, so through him, so be it. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. So it's spoken by us to give God. So whenever you get a promise from God and you find it in God's word about your marriage, about your home, about your legacy for your children, so be it. I got this promise. I am the loved of God today. He's loved me with an everlasting love. Therefore, I'm secure. So be it.
Amen.
Amen. And by the stripes of Christ, I'm healed today. Amen. So be it.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it's going to be. Amen. You don't say it all cocky, but you do because you have a Father that loves you, and it's spoken for us by the glory of God, not anything that you would get glorified but God. Amen. Turn it around. Amen. Thank God for it today. Amen. I looked at trusting, the third principle, trusting in the final destination, his final destination, and that's yours too. In grief, we question, what's going to happen to me if this thing doesn't get fixed, if my worst scenario happens? I can tell you what's going to happen. Heaven is still better
Amen.
Than earth.
Amen.
It's better than SeaWorld. It's better than Disney even.
Amen.
I've been to those places. Heaven is better. And we receive it by faith today. Amen. Paul, I don't believe he questioned God because of the way he wrote, but he was human just like me and you. And I mean, that guy got whipped 39 times, and they say scientifically if it would have been 40, he would have died. So they hit him just enough time to leave him messed up for a while on his backside. He almost drowned. He was shipwrecked. He got bit by a snake. He got stoned. You say, well, thank God he got a little bit of relief. No, he didn't get stoned this way. he got rocked. They left him for dead a couple of times in the book of Acts. And in that, still, this is what he writes, and it's 2 Corinthians on the, and it says this, 4:16, therefore do not lose heart. We are outwardly wasting away, yet internally we are being renewed day by day. And look, after being the lashes 39 times, shipwrecked, for our light and momentary troubles, that's all they are achieving for us eternal glory that outweighs them all. So fix your eyes not what's on seen, the cancer, the fear, but what's unseen, that there's healing, that God's presence is here. Since what's seen is so temporal, yeah, doctors are temporal, thank God for them, lawyers are temporal, security systems on your house are temporal, but what is unseen is what? In heaven, we don't have any of those things. We have God, and that's all we need. And you finally get fulfilled in all your no more loneliness in heaven. Jesus experienced the worst on earth so we could experience the goodness of God in our darkest, most painful times today. And I'm glad that you're here. We have this thought, well, during the why, what am I going to do? And the prophet Isaiah, He's a mighty prophet in the New Living Translation. Living Faith, you haven't had any fun all day. The 9 o'clock service, they brought it, man. I don't know what was in their menudo when they ate this morning. I don't know what was in their huevos rancheros, but they brought, I don't know what y'all ate, a Cliff Bar maybe, but you got it. Would you declare this scripture with me today, out loud, not out soft today? On three, I'm glad you're here this morning. We haven't been the same. You arrived, now we can say these things out loud, amen? Not out soft. On three, one, two, three, go. In all their suffering, he also suffered. He redeemed them.
He lifted them up and carried them for all the years.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus carried me through the most painful times of my life. Jesus carries you through the most painful times of your life. I underline the there and them right there because I can insert my name to each of those ones, and so can you. So why don't we have a little bit of thought here today and say this, in all Mario's suffering, why don't you say your suffering? In all Yeah, he also suffered, and he personally rescued Mario, and he loved, and he redeemed Mario, and he lifted Mario up, Mario, through all the years. Yeah, I have a lot of love, man, towards me, because you said my name instead of your name, amen. But you can say your name there, because it's a journey of faith that you're on, and I don't want it, when Irma and I hear that you're going through something of discouragement, do you know we get hurt? It bothers us. I wrestle with things at night. There's not too many people, again, that love you more than your pastors at Living Faith Church if you're part of this family. Because we pray for you. We're probably in the top five. Somebody that prays for you, and I pray for you a lot, man. Know that. That means I love you. I want you to make it. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're discouraged and things, and when you post something funky on Facebook that I don't understand, like sad face, you know, they have all these emojis on there now, man, I wonder what they're going through, because all they said, and they have that people comment, what's wrong? And I'm not going to do that, amen, guarantee you, but if you want to call me, amen, not at 3 a.m, give me a good amen. Yeah, I don't want you to go through any of this suffering, I don't want you to, but I do, you're going to go through things because you live on an earth that pain comes and suffering happens even to good people. Yes, amen. But through all your years, we go through the journey. And we keep going on and God's faithful. Amen. Amen. We're on a journey. We're going forward today. Right, everybody?
Amen.
When I first got my ministry assignment, and it's so great to see the young people from Christ for the Nations here. They'll come back and lead us in worship in a moment. And I remember how excited I was to enter into being, I wanted to be a pastor my whole life. And I worked free for a whole bunch of years. Not that I wanted to get paid, but thank God the day came when I got hired by this great church in Corpus Christi called Northwest Christian Center. It was an Assembly of God church, and the pastor hired me. And Irma and I had just gotten married about 2 years, and we were really wanting to start having kids, but the timing of God, and so, you know, it was time, you know, to have kids, but we thought, well, we'll wait, and, you know, so anyway, we get to Corpus Christi, and just love the church, love our youth group. We're going to be youth pastors. It's a great youth group, and we find out, man, we're expecting a baby, like the first month that we're there. Now, here's the backstory behind that. We had this great insurance at USAA because she worked there at USAA, and I had a great insurance where I worked at. So we get there, and this church is great, but they really don't have USAA insurance. How many know that's a good insurance? It really is. It's one of the best. And they have this church insurance. It's really like somebody's paying into it. It's called Brother's Keeper or something like that, and it's just not quite the same. And so, oh, man, what did we do? What kind of care is she going to get now that we need it the most? You know how important, ladies, that OB, right? Why, whatever he's called, yeah, how important he is, right? He's real important. I just go, amen. I drive the car and I take people. And so her family's coming down after the first month, and I'm like barbecuing for them. They're going to come back to the apartment that we have there in Corpus. And I get this phone call from my sister-in-law, Irma's sister, and says, hey, Irma began to just bleed a whole bunch, and we were at the mall, and they're taking her right now by ambulance to the, and we just didn't want to take, so she's just you got to go to the emergency room. I call my pastor that I've only known really a month. I go, hey, she's on the, and I'm thinking, you know, oh, what did we do? Did we miss God's will because we came here? And all those questions start to, you know, wanted to do what was right. And now the baby that we were expecting, this fear starts getting into me because you go through all those emotions. Mom and dad, you know that firstborn that's going to come. You get in the room ready. How is it going to be, a boy or girl, and that sort of thing. And so we're, and I'm on the way to go see my bride, not expecting to know what to do. So I walk into the emergency room, and there she is on this gurney, and the doctor's coming and says, we don't know what happened, but we're going to try to stop the bleeding, and you're going to have to go back to your doctor, Dr. Karagas, still remember his name, and he'll see you, and you'll need to wait because we don't know. So for about 5 days, because the appointment with the early week, it was like Friday, it was like a weekend, this, you're going to need to wait. And we waited and waited. And you know those emotions when you wait for doctors, right? And I want to teach you during those times that you're saying, God, why am I going through this? And I want to take you through the principles right now of God's word that you can apply this practical how-tos right now while you're in the waiting room, while you're asking why. Number one is this. Learn while asking why. You got to learn while asking why. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, on the big screen or in your handout, on three, let's read it together. One, two, three, go. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned. Yeah. Stop concentrating on what's happening on the outside. Stop concentrating on that body. Living faith believers here. And be concerned what God's doing on the inside of your life. Do you get that? Yeah, because God, there's a process right now. Pain is this passport that will take you to your next level a lot easier than the good times, than the rah-rah times. I don't know what it is about pain, about things that you just got to go through in life, but they sure do elevate you to go to the next level. It causes something. I wouldn't have gotten there unless it would have been for that trial. I wouldn't have gotten there if it wouldn't have been for that heartbreak I had. I wouldn't appreciate right now this level that I'm at if it wouldn't have been for that suffering that I went through. Do y'all get that with me? Amen. You do life. Yeah, you do that. Learn through the heartache today. And so the story continues with the baby that we're waiting on. And Friday comes. And they put that jelly on Irma's stomach. And then they start with that sonogram. Even back then they had them, right? Back then. And there's a heartbeat. And that heartbeat was Rebecca. Yeah. Yeah, it was Rebecca. And the doctor, Karagas, tells us some counsel. He said, it could have been that there was twins. And that's what happened. And so now, I don't know if Rebecca beat that other baby up, her twin, brother or sister, and made him, you know, but at least, well, you know, she's in heaven, or he's in heaven. And Andrew has a big sister or a big brother. How's that, right, everybody? Yeah. Something is waiting for us in heaven. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so I know the contrary, as much as we smiled right now. Some of you have been at the place where you didn't get the heartbeat. Or you heard the bad news even worse about your health. Do you understand that today? Amen. And so that's why 2 Corinthians is so important about not understanding but trusting God. Somebody say, trust God. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, in fact, we are expected to die. Well, wouldn't you like that on your refrigerator? That's a good magnet to have, right? As you greet people in your home as they walk in. But look at the buts in the Bible. That's why they're so important. But the buts in the Bible mean everything else is canceled that was said. Amen. It gives you a higher elevation. So we're going to go higher now. But as a result, we stop relying on El Mero Mero, right? No, not you. Amen. And we've learned, amen, to rely on only God who raises. Yeah. So don't push away. Lean into God. I love what Sister Cochran says. She's helped me in so many different things that, you know, some of you hard-headed ladies that are in here, I know that's not y'all, but we're preaching about the people that didn't come today. Yeah, they're not here today. No, I'm joking. They're watching me now. Sophie said, don't go away. I want to leave church. No, don't. I'm going to stay away from church. Sophie says, no, don't go away from church. Run to the house of God. How she stirred me with faith. And so I use that, man. Don't stay away from God's house. Lean into God. Lean into the Word of God. Lean into prayer. Get around good Christian. Get around good people. Amen. Get to that small group that they can encourage you. Get around the right friends. Don't push away, but lean into God today, right? There's a practical way of dealing with the darkness and pain in your life today. The second thought is this: love. Somebody say love while you're asking. Yeah, love while you're asking why. In the second part of our series just last week, go to that on the website, on Facebook. It's real practical. There's a whole sermon there. Who can I help right now while I'm hurting? Who can I minister to while I'm going through the trial of my life? I used to have this thought, hurting people hurt people. You've heard that, right? Man, there must be a whole lot of hurt the way she's hurting me or he's hurting me. There's a whole lot of pain that person's going through. And used to have compassion, or they're just hurting. But can I have a new mantra for Living Faith Rise Up during this season? And it's like the hurting people help people. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church. We're not Baptist, by the way, amen, but we're... if we're hurting, help people, because then it will accelerate. God notices, hey, they're hurting, but I'm right there with their pain. Right, everybody? Amen. They're hurting. They're having the worst day of their life with that migraine, but they're still reaching out. They're still ministering to their family. They're still making ham sandwiches for everybody. Give me a good amen. Who's hungry in this place? Right, everybody? 2 Corinthians 1:4, amen. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but I'm going to take anything today. He who comforts all of us in our troubles so that we can comfort others, so that we're troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God gave us. Listen to me. The pastor doesn't need to come to your block. You live on your block. So when calamity happens in your neighborhood, like somebody breaks into a house, you're the next door neighbor that arrives. The pastor doesn't need to come with his anointing oil. You're there already. They need a neighbor. They need comfort. How many of you recognize that? When your workplace suffers something and somebody's going through something, the pastor doesn't need to come anoint the lunchroom. You're there with your anointing oil. You help people, right, everybody? Yeah, you can do that. Students in this room, you walk down a hallway, college students in this room, you walk down people that even in Bible college, that people are hurting in your dorm room. You're there. You're going, well, my bills aren't paid. No, I can't pay my tuition. Well, you help somebody, and God will help you today. God gets He notices that right away today. Love while you're asking why. Finally, the most powerful principle, most practical thing that you can do in your pain. If you do this, there'll be a holy shift in your life. It's 3. Worship while you're asking why. How can I worship, man? I'm crying half the night, I'm worried, sick to death. How can I do that? You shift. Somebody say, holy shift.
Holy shift.
Yeah, shift happens. Shift it, man. Shifting means just like you would track yourself up a hill, you shift it, you get traction, and it's still hurting, but you're getting up the hill because you shifted it to a lower gear, and it's going to take you track yourself out by worshiping. I don't feel like it. It's not about feeling. It's faith. You worship God, right, everybody? There was this incredible story about a South African township, a village that had all these calamities. It was like they were cursed, and they came together on a Sunday morning. That Sunday morning, that week of, a house had just got burned down right by the church. A week before, a tornado went through and just leveled about 5 houses. That night before, a young man that was a church member, a 12-year-old young man that was a church member, some ruffians, a mob, killed him because they knew he was a Christian. And so the pastor had all these hurting people in the congregation. They were all groaning. They were discouraged. Naturally, they would be. What's happening to our community? Why is this happening? They were asking. And so the pastor prayed a certain prayer like this, and he opened up. And he was weeping, and people were weeping. He said, Lord, you're the creator, and you're sovereign. But why did the wind come like a snake and tear our roofs off? Why did the mob kill that young man that had so much to live for? And over, Lord, we have seen the midst of death in our camp. And the congregation, they sighed, they cried out, they were discouraged, and then they began to sing songs of faith. They began to sing and remind themselves of heaven. And they began to sing the songs that were so enlightening to them in the sense of that They looked up towards God instead of looking around on the circumstances of earth, of the houses that were leveled and the pain of a young man being his cut life was cut short. And they began to look up and they began to realize that God was still good, even in the middle of the trial and all the trouble that they faced. And they could still sing a song, and they realized that one day there was going to be a feast and all those tears were going to be dried up today. See, when you worship God, like all of us have in this room and all of us need to, when you worship God in your darkness, in your pain, it gives you a perspective that you need to have that you're not going to get anywhere else on the pain threshold. We worship God during the good times. We're all smiling, doing cartwheels. I love that. But you give me a man of God that worships God. You give me a woman of God that worships God in pain, there's something there. Amen. Yeah. That'll take us to the next level. They say that God is a God of fire. And I believe that. Old Testament. That's why when the fire was on the altar and they would lay the sacrifices on there, the scripture says, bring the sacrifice of praise. Because it was a sacrifice to bring that praise to the Lord. And fire would consume. And just like we bring I don't feel like praising God in the midnight hour. I'm going through this. My mind's wrestling with this. My heart is hurt and it's busted up right now. We worship God right now. Amen. We bring. I don't feel like it, but I don't. It's not feeling. It's the worship of God because it goes. We bring the. It's a sacrifice right now to praise God at this altar. Do you understand that? Amen. And it takes you to that level and it saves your family and it does something. That problem's so big and it's so massive. No, my God is bigger as I worship God. Do you understand that today? Yeah, today the house of God. Right there, that shift happens. Do you understand that? It just takes you to a different level. Amen? Yeah, and I can't sing because I don't sing like these guys up here on this row. I can't sing like them. I can't play the keyboard like he did. It's not about singing or your ability to play an instrument. It's a condition of your heart right now. Boy, if you could see my heart how it is right now, Pastor, it's hurting. Well, it shifts immediately when you begin to worship. Amen. God's right there. There's a loving scripture that the psalmist wrote to us, and it's Psalm 22:22. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. Isn't that good? There's somebody that's with me today. I'm singing, yeah, with my voice, but they're singing with me. I praise you among the assembled people. That sounds like living faith, right, everybody? Amen. Praise the Lord, all who fear him and honor him. All the descendants of Jacob, show him reverence, all the descendants of Israel. I think I'm included there, right, everybody? How about you? For he has not ignored or belittled your suffering of the needy. God's not turned away. He's not turning his back on them. Are you today, beloved? He loves you. He's listened. He's going to hear your cry right now. God can use the afflictions that you're going through right now for his great purpose in your life. Amen. He'll turn it today. And that's why finally here, real worship is trusting God when life doesn't make sense. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this room. The musicians are come. They're kind of scared to come, but God's up here. Amen. God's going to take over our service. I want you to worship God, amen. Would you stand to your feet? Let me have a moment of prayer with you as we get set now. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes right now, just so we're not looking around too much, and it's okay, just for this moment. Let me pray this. Father, we're going to trust you right now. We're going to trust you, God. More than the circumstances, though the earth shakes, God, we're not trusting the systems of this world. We're trusting you, my Father. And so we're going to trust you for the promises. We're going to trust you, Lord, because we love you. We're going to trust you, God. We're going to worship you right now. And someone's going to sing a song in the darkness, Lord. Someone's going to sing a song right now in the pain. And you're going to meet them. Let God take over right now. We worship you, Jesus.
a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love that dead of night as you tell that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.